Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hi, you're listening on to The Adventure. And I'm putting on W4CY. Radio.
Wake up, America! It's time for the adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY.com, West Palm Beach's number one internet radio station.
This is Pipe Man here on the adventures of Pipe Man, W4CY Radio, and I'm very thrilled about my next guest for several reasons. Number one, she's been on the show before. Number two, she has her own show here on the network. Number three, she's amazingly incredible in what she has to share with you that just could change your life. And number four, and best of all, is that she's just an amazing human being. So once again, we go across the pond and we have with us Gina Gardner. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. And thank God I just came up with that intro right then and there and didn't rehearse it, because that way I didn't screw it up.
I love it.
That is the benefit when you do shows like I do, where I do it off the cuff. You never make a mistake, because there's nothing to be a mistake.
It's quite an interesting concept for life, and I think one that more people should take up.
Oh, no doubt about it. Like, you know, you're a speaker, I'm a speaker. You know, the fact is if you do a speaking engagement or a radio show or a podcast, and you just be you, that is what is going to help others.
Isn't it interesting how authenticity, which I believe has always been important, I think is becoming more and more important, because people need to feel that something is real and that people have integrity and they are what they say they are and they walk their talk and that you can trust them.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I got to tell you, it's like the way I look at it is if you don't have a script and you're just being off the cuff, you are being authentic and it comes across that way. I can tell you, and I don't know how you feel, but me as a speaker, if they require me to use a script or a PowerPoint presentation, I don't like it. Because... not because I have to use it, but more of the fact of, I don't care who you are and how good of a reader you are. Whenever you're reading a script, it's very apparent that you're not being authentic.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a completely different energy to it. You know, I've been training people all my adult life, first children, and then when I became a principal, which at the age of 28, and I'm a lot older than that now, it was the done thing to use PowerPoint presentations. But in latter years, particularly face-to-face training, I stopped using them because people used to just go into a trance. And I would use an old-fashioned flip chart. And it was amazing what a difference it made to the people who were actually within the room. And I think there is something for us all to take on board that, you know, we're worried about fluffing a line or perhaps not being as fluent as you are if you're reading. But I think you're right that energy, that sense of you comes across. One caveat, though, that you do need to know your stuff. It's no good just standing up trying to bullshit people, because people know that that's going to be, that's not right too, don't they?
Oh, yeah, and I'm glad you clarified that for people that don't understand that are listening. It's like, it's not like you're getting up and you're just being off the cuff means you don't know your material. To me, it's more like, if I'm truly knowledgeable and the expert in what I'm talking about, and I truly believe in it with my heart, then I don't need a script, you know?
I agree. I was on a radio show actually earlier today, and the guy said to me, I'm sending you a load of questions. Do you want to choose which questions I ask you? And I said, no, just ask me them.
Oh, and I hate that, by the way. I hate when people will, you know, sit there and send me a list of questions. Like, no, that's not an authentic interview. I think an authentic interview should be a conversation. You know, I get it the other way around, too, where I have to interview somebody and they send me the questions I have to ask. And I tell them straight out, I'm not going to use this.
No. I mean, I will ask people either the theme that they were interested in talking about.
And they can suggest questions, okay? But it doesn't mean I'm going to use them, and I may use them.
But I think that, you know, we live in a world, don't we, where there is so much uncertainty and so much that we can't trust, so much fake news, that listening to people and recognizing the authenticity that comes through, I think, is really important. And so anybody who's listening out there, what you're getting here is the real deal. No rehearsal, just a conversation between two people. And I think my certainly feedback I get is that people really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, here's the thing too, okay, is you and I, before the interview, we had a conversation for about half an hour. And nothing we're talking about now was in that conversation. Our prep was just talking.
Just actually that connection as people and getting to know one another and talking about life in general. And I think that, you know, that then comes across, doesn't it, in terms of the feeling relaxed when you're talking to someone, that it does just feel like having a conversation with someone rather than having to put on an act.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say something too, okay? So here's one of the things I like about, you know, if you're talking, whether it's on a radio interview, podcast, speaking engagement, or just a conversation with somebody. I think if you use a script and just sit to a script and you know, or a PowerPoint, you lose that ability that I think all people can have, and some people use more than others, and that is your ability to be empathic to the people you're talking to.
I think that's very true. You can't tune in, can you? Because you're just focused on trying to get the words right in the right order. And I think so many people don't actually realize how empathic they are because they don't give themselves the space to be. They don't allow any quiet. They don't give themselves that time to listen into that inner voice because they're so busy being busy.
That couldn't be more true. You know, I love that. Busy being busy.
It's interesting because one of the things I was doing before this, I was just doing a short video for one of the programs that I've done. And it was talking about the difference between being a human being and a human doing. And I think it's quite funny that we are called human beings because for the most part, we are human doings. Ask anybody, you know, tell me about you, and they'll tell you about their job. Their job becomes their identity. So if they lose their job or they retire, suddenly, who am I? I don't know who I am when I'm not being whatever it is. And that we are conditioned as young children, you know, go and do something useful. Don't just sit there daydreaming. And I think we need to retrain ourselves to tune in, to be aware of our own energy and how we can impact on other people. I mean, how often have you spent time with someone and you come away and you feel absolutely exhausted because they're what I call an energy vampire? They suck the very guts out of you because they're so needy. And then you'll spend time with somebody else and you come away and you're invigorated and full of life because their energy has been something that's really great to be around. And knowing your own energy and the impact you have on other people and knowing how to manage other people's energy, I think is really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, I got to say, you know, it's a lot of people out there in the world, sometimes when it comes to energy and spirituality and being an empath and all that, they think it, you know, some people don't really understand it because they think it's just like somebody like floating in the sky, you know, and like don't isn't planted on the ground. But what you just said explains it better. It's just, you know, it is part of being real. It is part of your energy. And it's the most important thing. Here's what my viewpoint on psychic energies, being an empath or any kind of spiritual stuff. It's just being tuned in. It's like, it's just, everybody has it. Just most people choose to ignore it or don't pay attention. And I think somebody that's truly an empath is just paying attention. I find this also in relationships, okay? So I'll use myself as an example. I tend to be a pretty private person. I also tend to have multiple facets of my personality. So, you know, my ex-wife, one of them, after like 12 years of marriage, I was like, after all this time, you still don't know me, do you? And she's like, nope. And then I remember talking to one of my friends, another female who was just a friend, and saying this, and she's like, please, you're easy to figure out. She just wasn't paying attention. And the message there was what was more important than anything, is that if you're truly tuned in and paying attention to other people, then you do understand them. You may not choose to. Some people don't choose to. You may know them. You pay and choose not to know them or put your own spin on it. But if you're truly paying attention, people don't have to tell you who they are.
I think that's really true. I think we live in a world which is so fast-paced and so noisy. Many, many people feel unseen and unheard, and many people feel that they have no voice. And I think we're moving into a very new time. We keep talking about the new normal, but I also, for those of you that have a spiritual view, that we're moving into a new era of consciousness, one where we recognize that we are more connected than we are separated, that we're all energy, and that whatever we do actually has an impact on other people, on the environment, and that it's time for us to start to think and do things differently. The thinking that got us to this place is not going to be the thinking that gets us out of this mess that we're in.
That's for sure.
And I think for me, one of the things that I've started to do, I've worked a lot with empaths over the year, and empaths come in all shapes and sizes, just like people come in all shapes and sizes. And there are those that, you know, if you think of a continuum, there are those who are just highly sensitive and who pick up other people's moods, who tend to look at people's faces and don't just listen to the words, but listen to the what's behind the words. So people might say, I'm fine, but they actually recognize that you're not and do something about it. To the very other end of the spectrum, there are people who commune with spirit and do all sorts of things. But I want to take this and think about it at the moment, just at the business level. You know, Warren Buffett, hugely successfully financially, he talks about the fact that he didn't listen to his intuition early on in his career. It cost him £1 billion.
Yeah.
Richard Branson talks about how he uses his intuition. He uses all the data, but he uses his intuition to ask questions like, have I got enough data? Have I got the right sort of data? Do I need to do something else now? And he uses that intuition to inform his decisions, not in isolation, but in using it with others. And then I'm reminded, you know, I've taught people to interview. I've sat on many, many, many interview panels, and the number of times that people who are interviewing are so busy with the questions that they don't tune into the person. And we filmed some of the interviews. And when we played it back, what people have recognized is they were so busy formulating the next question, they didn't listen to the answer, which was glib, and they were taken in by the tone of voice rather than what was actually being said. And so there are so many practical applications in terms of being empathic, tuning in and listening, that can make a difference to your everyday life. But if you are an empath, and most empaths who label themselves empaths, in my experience, have a really strong sense of purpose. They feel that they're here to make a positive difference in the world. And I would say to them, if that's you, time is of the essence. Things are moving and changing so fast. You are needed. But many empaths have had difficult childhoods where they felt apart, different to other people, that they've had a series of difficult relationships. And it really is time to get your stuff sorted, get your baggage sorted, because to be the best version of you means that you'll be able to help others. And I think, you know, that's true for everybody, but it's particularly true for this group of people whose purpose in life is to support and other people, help other people in their growth. And if people are interested, I've just launched an intentional workbook called Harness Your Power as an Empath, which talks about the things that hold empaths back, and then creates an intentional journal where people can work through some of the issues to help themselves, you know, really move themselves forward at an accelerated rate.
Wow, I love it. While we're at that point right now, I just want to tell
everybody. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Everybody that, so you know, Gina here, besides being an amazing speaker and coach, she has an incredible radio show here on the network and podcast and TV show called Leadership for Life. And it's really amazing. You can catch it live right here on W4CY Radio. You can either listen or you can click on, you know, to watch it live. And you can watch it live in video. And it's really an amazing, amazing show. Maybe, Gina, you could tell everybody a little bit more about it.
It's all in the name, really. I mean, I do a lot of work around enlightened leadership within the business context. But we're the common denominator. We take ourselves into every situation, every moment of every day. So you can't really say I'm the professional and I'm a different person to me, the personal. So for me, in order to lead others, you first have to lead yourself. And so Leadership for Life, the program is divided into three parts. And the first part is always me, and I'll choose a theme that fits with my guest. The middle section is a guest, and this Thursday, for example, we've got Mary Buffett, who is Warren Buffett's daughter-in-law, who's going to talk about investments and how you can protect the finances that you have and make the most of them. Last week, I had Melody Garcia, who she's one of the top 10 American Filipinos and has done some amazing charity work. The following week, we've got a guy called Ben Baker. We've got some fabulous guests. And then the last part, again, is me. And the other thing that we're doing with Leadership for Life is we've partnered with B1G1, Buy One, Give One. And so my guests get to choose one of three projects, which Genuinely You, which is my company, then donates impacts. And they could be things like feeding 200 hungry people in the US from an organization that gathers food that from restaurants that's not going to be used and feeds it to the hungry, and helping give children back their sight in Tanzania is another one, educating children in another part of the world. And they choose which one, and we give so many impacts. And the other thing is, for every 100 listeners, whether that's live or recorded, I'm choosing a project each month, And for every 100 listeners, we will give impacts. So just by listening to the show, you can make a positive difference in the world. And I'm really thrilled about it. And if you're a business and you're interested in doing it, then, you know, let us know, because if you use our code, we'll know that we've had an impact on you. And then the people that you engage, they become part of your impact. So we can see, just like bees, you know, pollinating plants, we can see just how much impact we have. So the program is designed to help you, to give you practical tips. It's very down to earth, very practical. And I hope people are enjoying it. I do hope people will write in and talk about the themes that they'd like and let us know what they think about the show. That would be absolutely great.
I love it. I love it. And so everybody knows, you know, again, like I said, you can tune into Leadership for Life right here on W4CY Radio. You can either choose to listen or you can choose to watch. Either way, you will be well informed. And that's every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, just for your time zone. And then any past episodes that you haven't seen or heard because you're first hearing about it now or whatever the reason is, you can catch past episodes on iHeartRadio and multiple other outlets where you listen to podcasts. I think you're going to absolutely love it. And I just want to tell you right here on the show, Gina, that, you know, your engineer, she's the one that edits my interviews.
Love you, Roxy. Yeah. I love her to bits.
Well, that's good to hear because she edits my interview, so I was letting her know today, hey, I'm going to be doing an interview with Gina, and she was just saying, oh, I love her. Like, you know, there are certain favorite show hosts that engineers have, and I'm sure you're one of them for Roxy.
Oh, she's so supportive and so warm. It's been great. I have to say, the whole shebang has been really great to work with. Dean, you're a delight, and anybody thinking about starting a radio show, I was very much a beginner, but I've had my hand held, and I feel, you know, no question is silly, you know, particularly in those early days. It's been a really great experience. Thank you very much. So, you know, anybody thinking about it, and I would say to you, if you want to rise above the noise that's going on out there, one of the ways to do that is to take the jump and become your own radio host, because that way you're in control of the guests you have and the subjects that you want to talk about, and you can give yourself a great platform for other people to hear about who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you so much for that. I didn't have to self-tout it myself. You did all the work for me. I'll pay you after the interview's over.
Thank you. Well, listen, the one thing you'll get from me is the truth. I don't do bullshit, because I don't believe in that. I just keep quiet. But it has been a great experience.
You know how I know you don't do bullshit besides listening to your show, talking to you? I've never heard you use the word bullshit.
It's a technical term, you understand.
Yes, but that's how I know it's real. Like, you know, it is kind of funny, though. Okay, so people that generally don't use words like that, when they use them, you know it's serious.
Yeah.
You know it's real, you know. My kids used to make fun of me. They're like, Dad, you don't even know how to curse. That's a good problem to have of your kids thinking of you, you know.
Okay. True. Very true.
But then they also knew I was serious if it did happen. Which never with them, but I remember, okay, it's funny. So one of my daughters, she worked at the radio station, and one time, I don't know, something happened, and I said shit really loud, and she was like in shock. She was telling the other people work here. She's like, "I never heard my dad curse ever."
No, well, perhaps I shouldn't have used the word on radio.
Oh no, but I don't mind. Like, listen, also it's image too, because they said they never heard it, but that's because I never used it with them or around them. But it doesn't mean it never came out of my mouth. You know, you know, here's my viewpoint. Sometimes you need it to, you know, make your point. What I don't like is when people use it as their vocabulary, you know, and like they can't think of any other word to use but a curse word. Sometimes it's just to make a point.
I'll tell you a very funny story. When I was a principal, we had a child who was using the F word every other word. So I invited the parents in to have a conversation with them about the fact that this wasn't acceptable. And as they sat in my office, they said, and I'm substituting the F word for blankety blank. Well, I don't blankety blank, 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 blank know where they got it from because they never hear me blankety blank, 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 blank. He had no idea that the main word within his vocabulary was the very one that we wanted to eradicate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an people are endlessly interesting, aren't they?
Wow, that's pretty cool. You know, and it is true. People generally, sometimes they don't, they need that outside, you know, perspective because they don't realize, sometimes people don't realize how they appear, how they sound, or any of that until somebody points it out to them.
95%, they've done the research, 95% of our thinking is habitual, doesn't cross our conscious mind at all.
Yes.
We give no more thought than breathing or our nails growing.
Absolutely.
And so learning to be aware of your thoughts and really to tune into the quality of those thoughts. Are they serving you? Are they keeping you playing small? Are they limiting you? When you do that, and the quality of your life changes exponentially.
No doubt about it. I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's funny. We're talking about empaths, and it's kind of similar. So, when you're being when you're somebody that is an empath, it's not like you even know what's going on. It just happens.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. It becomes part of who you are.
Yeah.
But I think the one thing for everybody, given the situation that we find ourselves in, is to become more aware of not only the world around us, and even things like, you know, the beauty of nature, and to really appreciate it, for example, but the relationships we have in our lives, though they're so important, and yet often we give them very little attention. Being aware of how we're showing up, of our language, the patterns of language. You know, I practice what I preach, and although I'm a highly experienced coach with 30 years experience, I've always got a coach on the go, and I think I ought to model what I tell other people to do. And Ali Nicole has a really good strategy, and that is to start to be the journalist in your own life. Imagine that you're a journalist following a celebrity, and you think how those journalists put that celebrity under the microscope and look at how they dress, how they eat, how they speak, what they do. And do that for yourself and start to notice the patterns. Because it's only when you're aware that you have then the choice whether to keep it or whether to change it. But if you're oblivious to it, you have no choice. You stay in victim mode to whatever is going on because you don't have an active choice available to you.
Yeah.
So if nothing else from this program, you know, I would really urge people to start to awaken, to be more aware of the shift and the changes and of how you're operating in the world. And you will find there are huge benefits from doing that.
You know, it'll change your life drastically. I'll tell you another story, interestingly enough. So we just had on the station a few days ago on one of our shows, and by the name of John Gray. Most of you would know him as the author of Mars or Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I've actually shared the stage with him at different seminars years ago. And here's something interesting. I read that book, and like all of us, I am part Martian, I'm part Venusian. You know, and I think people don't realize that. It's really, it's what we focus on. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier and what I was saying about paying attention. So one of the things about me, which is not a typical Martian, is that paying attention. Like in relationships, generally, according to this book, and generally it does happen, is the women pay attention and the men, like, are kind of oblivious. I'm like, in my marriage, it was the exact opposite, to be honest. But I pay attention to everything, you know, and I think that's part of what being an empath is. It's not just the energy. It's just being tuned in and paying attention. And I think it could help your relationships immensely. Because imagine if you were a guy that did that, how easy your life would be. I'm saying this to other guys because, guys, you make your life so difficult by not paying attention to your girlfriend, your wife, or anybody else, and just, like, being in your own world. Like, sometimes it's just little things. There were times when I was married that my ex-wife would point something out in a store just nonchalantly, didn't ask for it, and just pointed it out. And, like, 6 months later, she'd get it, and she'd be like, how did you remember that I pointed that out? And my answer was simply, I was just paying attention.
Yeah. It's a really interesting one, isn't it? I think for me, the whole business of, you know, how women and men are different, I would say men, generally speaking, want to solve the problem.
Yes.
Women tend to want to talk about their emotions, and that can cause a bit of tension. But, you know, you'll hear in the media, particularly if you are into spiritual things, that they're talking about we are now moving into the age of feminine energy.
Yeah.
And we are moving out of the age of masculine energy. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding that, you know, this means it's only about women. But men and women have masculine and feminine traits, masculine and feminine energies.
Yes.
And one of the challenges I think that's happened over the last 30 years with women is that they have thought, in order to step into their power, that they've got to harness their men's energy, which has made them very often more bullish than men, that they are literally just less hairy men rather than working to their strengths. And I'd like to see a situation where both men and women can harness both feminine energy. That's the nurturing, the compassionate kindness, the attention side, and men's capacity to see things through, to be logical, to get things done. And I'm talking about the energy, not the gender here.
Yeah.
And to embrace both parts of us and not see it as a competition.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting that you brought all that up, because that kind of hit home for me because of the fact that, okay, so a couple things. One is, I think women using masculine energy in the business world is actually like working at half energy, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And I say it all the time. Women have certain innate abilities to them that if you're using masculine energy instead of female energy, you're not using your true power, you know, and there's a certain feminine power that I think men and women should use. And, you know, when women are going in and using masculine energy, my best advice to them is, man, use your energy, because your energy is so much more powerful and it's yours. The other thing is for guys. Okay, there's a big fallacy. I'm going to say it right now. As a guy, you know, being sensitive and nurturing does not equate to being weak.
Absolutely. What you're talking about there is being authentic, which is, if you like, the theme of what we've been talking about. Is owning who you are and not trying to be what you think other people want you to be or that you need to be in order to succeed, because you will succeed so much better if you are authentically who you are. And, you know, we need both feminine and masculine energy, but in the right place and in the right way.
Yeah.
I do think that we need, as a as a human race to be kinder, to show more compassion, to really nurture one another rather than rip five bells out of one another. And I think we would all benefit from just a little, you know, day by day, looking for opportunities to be kind and thoughtful would make such a difference, wouldn't it?
Oh, no doubt about it. And like, that's what I think the world needs more than anything in 2021 is for us to just be nice to each other and love each other and care for each other. We are one race, the human race.
Yeah. You know, it costs nothing to be kind. It costs a bit of thought. You leave your ego at home under your pillow with your 90 euro pajamas, because your ego doesn't help. It just gets in the way. Leave behind the need to be seen to be right. I think it's highly overrated. And, you know, recognize that you can have a difference of opinion with someone. You don't have to believe everything in the same things. You don't have to do things in the same way to appreciate that other people have a point of view.
And maybe, and maybe that other point of view I talk about all the time is because of the different variables, where they are, what happened to them in life. Like, people don't understand that. You know, maybe people believe the way they do because of things that happened in their life.
I'm sure that's going to be a huge factor. I can't remember who it was who said, you know, walk a mile in my shoes and you will understand who I am. And I think, you know, we don't take the time, do we, to really think about what does that feel like for the other person? How would it be if I was in that situation? And so often we make these huge assumptions that are built on just fluff or smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
And as a result, we then make judgments and behave and speak in particular ways that are inappropriate and hurtful.
Yes.
I think people are often judgmental and critical. And I would say that without exception, the people I've known and the people I've worked with who are like that do it because they are unhappy. And that they are, but in trying to make other people feel small, it's in order to make them feel bigger.
Yeah.
It's never going to work.
You know what?
It's never going to work.
You know, you should just, like, understand others. Be a little empathic of others and what they've been through. That's the only way we're going to grow together, and that's the only way we're going to learn. And you talked about right and wrong, okay?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think we learn a lot more when we're wrong than when we're right.
Oh, I meant that in a particular way. You know, the people who you're having a discussion, but they have got to be seen to be right.
Oh, yeah.
That won't let it go, and they want the last word, and that I am right, which makes the other person wrong. When actually, for the most part, you're just different. You have a different viewpoint, which is fine. You're entitled to a different viewpoint. But it should be, you should be able to respect that the other person has an equal right to their viewpoint, even if it's different.
Yeah, and you know what? Your viewpoint or their viewpoint isn't right or wrong. It's just your viewpoint. And maybe it's based on the information that you're given. And that's where we tend to grow, too, is if we stop trying to be right and wrong, then maybe we can get more information from more people, and maybe we will change our viewpoint. Maybe we won't. It could be either way.
Yeah. But you're never going to know unless you try, are you?
Absolutely. Like, I'm a firm believer in, you know, like, even when debates, when you take debates in school, what do you learn? You learn how to prove both sides. You don't learn how to prove just one side. And I think people should take a lesson from this. Don't just learn your side. Learn every side. And then, you know, you can be more well-rounded and educated about what's going on.
One of the things we used to have to do in college when we were debating is that we would be given the side that we were to take. And then at some point, the bell would ring and we would have to shift sides.
Yep.
And I found it a really valuable exercise that, you know, to be able to understand and to be able to articulate a thinking behind whatever it was you were talking about. But I think to a large extent, we've lost the capacity to have discussions. You know, in fact, I was talking about this earlier today on a different call. You know, before I left being a principal, which is in 2004, I did a bit of a poll amongst I had 500 students, and only 2/3 of them actually had a dining room table where they could all sit round the table together for a meal. And most of the kids, a large proportion of those children that didn't have a table, they just sat with dinner on their knee watching TV. And they didn't learn the art of having a conversation around the dinner table, something that when I was growing up was sacrosanct. We all ate together and you discussed the day and different topics, and it gave you an opportunity to that give and take within a conversation, to listen and to speak. And I think it's sad that many children aren't given that opportunity to grow into discussing things and being able to have a difference of opinion without having an argument.
So true. Yeah, and, you know, the thing is, okay, so for all the people out there that they're trying to convince the other side of their opinion, here's some advice. They're not going to listen if you make them out to be wrong.
No.
You know, and the fact is, you don't have to force what your belief is on them. You can educate and inform and let people make their own decision. And I think the best way to convert even the evil people out there is to understand them and not discount them. You know, and I'll give a perfect example of this. I was put in a situation several years ago where I had to work very closely together with, in close quarters, a neo-Nazi. I'm a Jew.
That must have been incredibly difficult.
What ended up happening is we actually ended up being friendly, because instead of me attacking or instead of me hating,
yeah,
I decided to learn why this person would hate me. And that is the insight that can give you the tools. Because, again, it goes back to what I was saying before. The variables, okay? Yeah. You know, I found out why this person believed what they did. And until you find out the why, you can't educate, you know, because then you're not really listening to them either. So why should they listen to you? And what ended up happening is I showed him, by being who I was, that we aren't the bad people that he was taught we were, you know. However, had I reacted like many people would and, like, you know, hate him, argue with him, fight with him, whatever it is, all that we've done is reinforce their own feeling. And that's what's going on in the world right now. The opposing sides everywhere in the world are trying to do that and then wondering why those opposing sides are getting even stronger in their beliefs instead of mellower.
I think the lesson that you've just shared there is hugely, hugely powerful. That, you know, that people make assumptions. We all have the polarity within us to do great things and to do evil things, I believe.
Yes.
Given the right circumstances and or the wrong circumstances, given an education or lack of it, which teaches you to fear others or to assume that, you know, some group of people. I mean, it's caveman and women stuff, because where though you were hot-wired to fear anything that wasn't exactly the same as them, because that was seen as a threat to their survival. And I think what we see in the situations where people go into this polarized hating of one group to another is it's going back to that primeval, low energy, low vibrational energy of fear. And I think most trouble comes because people fear one another rather than recognizing that the other side are just human beings. You know, as you were talking about that situation, I was reminded of, you know, what happened in the First World War at Christmas time, when the men came up from the trenches, both sides, and played football. And for that period of time, they saw one another as humans and people, not as the enemy. And I think it's very sad that the powers that be put ordinary men and women into situations where they are forced to take sides. And I mean, there are times when, you know, it's been a really difficult situation. And you think of the Second World War and stopping, you know, the Nazis taking over. One could argue that that was, you know, absolutely justified. But recognizing, as you did, that when you got to know that person, that when you take it down to individual level, you're talking about you and me, you're talking about any of us, that could have been, couldn't it?
Yes, totally. Absolutely, 100%. And
Sorry to interrupt you, but I really salute that you had heart enough and strength enough to take that approach. And that's a shining example for us all.
Well, thank you very much. I also have another belief. You know, we have this in the U.S., we have this kind of belief about certain things and our rights and our freedoms. And I think we're hypocritical at times because, in the same essence, I also believe, as much as I have my rights, that person, that neo-Nazi, whether they're a hater or not, you know, forget anything they do illegal or heinous or whatever, but they should have the right to feel the way they do. And not many people are strong enough to say that. Like, you know, how many Jews would say they have the right to hate me? But unless you believe they have the right to hate me, how are you going to get them to not hate you?
Yeah. I think with rights come responsibilities. You'll know from one of our conversations that I believe that we should take radical responsibility for our thoughts, emotions, yes, actions, words, or lack of them. And that you know, that you may disagree with someone, you might even hate them. But actually, it's when you let that boil over into action that is reprehensible, that you still have to take responsibility for why you hate them and what you're doing with it. And I think, you know, I'm reminded back to when I was a principal, and, you know, particularly new parents who didn't know the school and the setup would come in and talk about their rights. But what they would learn is, with rights come responsibilities,
yeah,
and we took our responsibilities very seriously and we expected them to. And I think that, you know, it's this balanced side that if you are, whatever you do, whoever you are, take radical responsibility that everything you do, everything you choose, there will be a consequence. And I think one of the other things is that standing by when you see things that you believe are unjust, that has consequences too.
Yes.
And I think there comes a time when all of us have to stand up and say, we don't believe that that's the right way to behave for the following reasons. And that we don't, if we let it go unnoticed, we're condoning it. And who was it who said the only thing for evil to persist is for good men to stay silent? So it's for me, it's a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle. There's nothing linear and simple about these. All of these things fit in together. And the challenge is, how do you, as a human being, navigate when you are already constrained by your own beliefs, which you've been conditioned into? And it's about being back to awareness, aware that your beliefs, your perceptions aren't the only reality. They might be yours, but they're not everybody's.
No doubt about it. And that goes back to also what I was saying, is the variables and where of our life. Like, even you take yourself and I, we grew up in different countries. So obviously there's going to be different belief systems, different values, different morals that we're exposed to. Doesn't mean that we think differently, but what we're exposed to. And then we choose from that how we are. But it does have an influence, you know, and there's just so many parts of us that could be different because of just one simple thing, and that's geographics. So now you throw all these other variables in, and, you know, that makes
a huge storm, haven't you, really?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. You'll laugh at this. Maybe we talked about it before. I don't remember. But even perception. So my second ex-wife was British.
Yep.
And when she came to the States, she acted like what a lot of Americans viewpoint the British as, you know, very high class, very, you know, we think of the royal class when we think of England. We don't think of the social class. So we think of, you know, very high class, very well-mannered, blah, 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 blah. And little did people know, including myself, that, well, there's lots of places in the UK that are very different, and different upbringings, well, different values. Right? You know, and it's no different here in the States, okay? So, listen, as somebody who's originally from New York and New Jersey and is a Jew, definitely when I go to a place like Alabama, I am like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them better, worse, or anything. It's just different, you know, and it's not what you're used to. And that, I think that's what people fear, and why hatred happens, is they fear being different.
Yeah, very much so. And isn't it interesting that when you embrace that difference and, you know, the conversations we're having, for example, learning about one another and, you know, what are the things that are the same and what are the things that are different, they enrich both our lives.
Yes, absolutely. That's why I think we should learn from everybody. People we hate, people we like, people that are good, people that are bad, doesn't matter.
And it's interesting that, you know, you make such a good point, because if you only choose to listen to the people that who are like you, that you like, you're going to get a very skewed view of the world.
Oh, yeah. Here's a great example of that. You ready for this? Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know what about the UK, but here in the United States, people either watch Fox News or they watch CNN. Me, being the type of person I am a firm believer that the only way to get all the information is to listen to all sides. So I rarely watch the news anyway, but if I do, I watch both, because I want to see the perspective from both sides. And it is rather ironic. It makes you understand the other side better, too. Like, a lot of liberals here would understand conservatives better, and conservatives would understand liberals better, because I watch CNN and Fox for the same exact story, and is a totally different story. And I actually get a little empathetic, because when I watch one side or the other, it makes me understand why these people are thinking the way they do, because that's the only information they're getting.
Do you know, I think that be aware and question.
Yeah.
You know, is this the truth? Is this the only truth? Because we tend to think in silos, whereas actually, you know, I'm sitting in my garden room at the moment, and I'm sitting in my settee overlooking my internal courtyard, and I have a perspective on this room. But if I went to either end of the room and looked the different way, I'd have a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
Now, that's as true of something as simple as a room. Just think how complicated it can be when we're talking about people. Because everybody is unique, everybody's different, but we tend to lump people together, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
As human beings, I don't mean you and I particularly, but although we will still do it to some extent, perhaps just not to the extent that most people do. But I think, you know, questioning all the time, you know, what's going on here? How am I responding within this situation? And am I responding to this situation because of the way I've been conditioned, brought up, the variables? Am I being truly open-minded, and am I prepared to get out of my own way? And if I don't know, to go and find out and to ask the question. And you can do it in a way that doesn't offend, that is quite open and gentle, and as a result, be in a much better informed place. And I think we've got two ears and a mouth for a very good reason.
No doubt about it. And you know, people have different ways about them and things. Perfect example. I have two great examples of what we're talking about. Number one, okay, let's talk about the beach. There's people like me that, you know, love the ocean, everything about it. You know, the energy, the spiritualness, the beauty, everything about it. But I don't really like the beach itself that much because I don't like the sand. Like, I go to the beach because of the ocean. I don't like the sand, okay? Yeah. It's a pain in the behind. You know, it's a major ordeal after you're done to go get cleaned up. But then there's other people out there that will never step foot in the ocean, but they love the beach, and they love being on the sand, and they love the feeling of it. And I think when people are talking about anything, they need to think of that example because... Okay, so here, this has nothing to do with who's right or wrong. It's just their own feelings.
Absolutely. And it, you know, even to, are you a morning person or an evening person? Are you a shower person or a bath person?
Yeah.
We have so many pre-installed views of how the world should be, a blueprint about how people should treat us or how things should turn out. And so often we set ourselves up for disappointment because we create this incredibly tight-knit blueprint. And if it's not met, then we feel that something's let us down.
Yeah. And, you know, the other example comes from an interview earlier. I was interviewing a former attorney that wrote a book about, you know, banking and foreclosure here in the United States. And the cover of the book has this very, like, orangey sky, you know, like, and it's a sunset. And when he was on the interview, he's describing like the book cover, and he's saying this beautiful sunset. And I turned to him and said, "Wow, that's pretty funny," because I looked at the book cover, and it looked to me like the sky was on fire. You know, and maybe it looked to me like the sky was on fire because of the subject matter we were talking about. So I'm like making this assumption. Ooh. Talking against, you know, the U.S. banks and how they're screwing people over in foreclosures. So, yeah, he made this, like, fiery sky to accentuate that. But, yeah. See, that was just my assumption.
Assumptions are very dangerous, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. So, I want to assume everybody out there is going to check you out. And that's not a dangerous assumption. So let's take this time right now so you can tell them all the ways that they connect and can connect with you, or if they need to hire you as a speaker or a coach, or even get your, you know, number one international bestseller, you know, or any of your other products. So now is your time to tell them everything.
Thank you. So if you want to connect with me, email me at Gina, G-I-N-A, at genuinely, and then a dash, a hyphen, and then the word you.com. Several websites. If you want to look at all the general stuff, then genuinely-you.com. If you're interested in leadership, then it's enlightenedleadership.co. If you're interested in being coached by me, then it's ginagardner.com. I'm on YouTube. Go and look at the Genuinely You with Gina Gardner. There's loads of videos on there, including some where you can see people who are being coached by me, didn't meet them beforehand, and I was coaching, moved them on. There are all sorts of things on there. If you're interested in my books, I've got 10 books now, three of which are international bestsellers. Then go and look at Amazon, or you can find them on the website. They're there too. I'm on Tumblr. I'm on Facebook. Go to the Genuine News site, Gina Gardner Associates on LinkedIn, but The easiest way to contact me is email. That's G-I-N-A at genuinely, G-E-N-U-I-N-E-L-Y, little hyphen, and then the word you, Y-O-U dot com.
And as I heard you spelling that, you know what I was thinking? A perfect scenario of what we're talking about perspective, right or wrong, or is one in two letters, one in the UK, one in America, S and Z.
Yep.
Because I know that every time that I see realize spelled with an S, I'm like, that looks weird. And then I'm sure you guys, every time you see it spelled with a Z, you're like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah.
But you see, it's just what we're used to.
It is.
Neither is right or wrong. They're both right, you know? So there's the biggest message of all, people, okay? Maybe everybody's right. You just haven't taken the time to find out why.
That's a brilliant way to make people think.
Thank you. I think so. I'm going to have to put that on my Facebook as a pipe quote because I just came up with that right then and there.
I think it's well worth putting on there.
There you go. So what do we want to leave off here with that maybe we haven't covered that you really think the audience needs to hear from you, Gina?
Come and join me on Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Leadership for Life. Come and join us and let us know if there's anything, any subjects that you'd like covered. But I think what I'd like to say to you is life is not a spectator sport. You know, the experience that you get when you watch a game from the sidelines and you actually are playing is very, very different. And that life is so precious. Don't waste it with all of this, you know, complaining and the negative stuff. You know, we live in this amazing world. We are, if you're listening to this show, the chances are that you're in the top 10% of the population, bearing in mind that, you know, most of the population of the world live on less than a dollar a day. You know, recognize how blessed you are and count gratitudes during the day. And I'd like to say to everybody, just one random act of kindness each day. It doesn't have to cost you anything. Really being thoughtful about somebody else, even just smiling and saying hi as you walk past people, makes such a difference.
I love that last part because ever since COVID, it seems like every time people walk past people, they look down and don't say hi. It's weird. Yeah. It's weird. I can't. That's one of the things I can't wait to be over right there. Like, it's just weird. You walk by people and like I go for a walk at night and I'll walk by people and I'm away from them and I'll like wave or smile at them and they look the other way. And it's like, dude, you're not going to get COVID from a smile.
No. And, you know, particularly, we're in full lockdown in the UK and, you know, people are wearing the mask on that, but you can smile with your eyes. You can wave and say hello. You may be the only person that other person has spoken to all day.
Yep. No doubt. I think now more than ever during this COVID and lockdown and everything else is when you have to be more friendly and smile more so we can all get through this together.
Yeah, and pick up the phone and tell somebody that you care about, that you love them. Don't leave it. You know, just make contact. Make that extra little bit of effort to let people know that you care.
I love it. What great words, great person, great speaker, great author, and great radio show host and podcaster and TV show host, Gina Gardner, right here on The Adventures of Pipe Man, W4CY. Make sure to check out her show every Thursday, Leadership for Life, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to her website. Get the books. Get everything. Do it all because it will change your life forever. I know it changed his mind.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Adventures of Pipe Man on W4CY Radio.